This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication.
Welcome back to Threshold Radio. This is Johnny Bluestar. We're back with Patty Greer, filmmaker, singer-songwriter, and intrepid explorer of crop circles. In the last hour, we promised you we would talk about the science behind crop circles. We're not talking here about conventional human science, although that clearly is part of our subject, but a technology that seamlessly transcends our ordinary understanding of time, space, and energy, allowing these complex patterns to be constructed in a matter of minutes with meanings that take effect and patience and often special knowledge to decipher. But in Patty's case, unlocking the door to the science was preceded by a somewhat strange event.
Tell us the ghost story so that we can set
up
what stories, right? Yeah, well, the ghost story leads to actually meeting Patty and learning about what the science is, which is what we'll get into.
I'm speaking at the UFO Congress on Valentine's Day. I had a very good response. I sold a ton of movies. And this woman comes up to my booth and says, "My name is so-and-so. I have an event in Michigan. You have to come speak at our event." And so I threw her a nice price that made it worth it to me. And she said, "Okay." And I was like, "What? Oh, great." So she flies me to Michigan. And it was good enough that I had a wonderful time. And then at night, I met this sweet man sitting in the corner on the couch who said, "Oh, you're the crop circle lady." And I said, "Yep." "Did you hear my talk?" "Nope." "Oh, have you ever seen anything about my work?" "Nope." "Oh, well, it's nice to meet you." He says, "There's somebody I need to take you to meet. Would you be willing to leave here and take a short drive with me?" I was like, "Well, I'm sorry. I really don't know who you are. And you have no idea what my work's about. Why would you say this?" He said, "Well, you're the crop circle person, and she knows a lot about crop circles. And I took her intuition courses and graduated." And I said, "That's nice." He said, "Well, what I'm not saying is that I know you need to go." I'm like, "Oh, huh." So I kind of asked questions. I said, "Well, thanks, maybe tomorrow." So sure enough, I asked about him. People were cool. I gave his license to a few people. And I went the next evening after I had done my talk. And so it was late, though. We drive out to Penny's, and I meet her. She's got this big spread of a farm, and she's darling little, kind of timid, soft-spoken, very clear-spoken woman. And we're sitting around this round table and talking for hours. I had no idea who she was. He didn't tell me. And so it was like 2 in the morning, "Really sorry, I've got to go. But nice to meet you." She says, "Well, let me give you one of my books." And she hands me this book. I don't look at the cover. I just went through the pages. And I said, "Oh, my God, crop circle nodes. What are they doing in your book?" And she looks at the guy, and the guy looks at her, and she said, "You didn't tell her who I was?" And he nodded no. And I'm looking, I'm standing there, it's 2 in the morning, I've been there 4 hours. I said, "I'm sorry, who are you?" She turns the book over, and I look at the cover, and it says Penny Kelly and William Levengood. I was like, "Huh?" She said, "I was the one that really worked with him for the last 15 years of his life. He died last year."
How much did you know about him already?
Nothing.
Okay.
The interesting thing, Johnny, is that I've made all these movies with no research. And it was all intuitive. And when I say that, I actually mean it. And most people don't live in the woods and have a pet fox. I do. Most people live in the city. They can tolerate traffic and smart grid and surveillance cameras and honking. And I can't. I'm done. I live in the woods. I got a cabin. I got a friend who's a fox. I have always had a fox everywhere I've lived for 40 years. I don't pet them. I don't invite them in, although I leave the door open, they come in. But my work is this, and I just see things really differently. So I love doing radio shows. But short of that, I don't do restaurants and noisy bars anymore. Do you?
Restaurants a little bit, but I'm trying to completely downsize that.
Right. So these events,
because
these
the food is so poisoned, you know.
It's scary. Yeah. But so luckily we've got these events, these conferences where there's like where we can all get together. So she pulls me to Michigan. I get taken to Penny's. Penny and I are like, oh my God, I have to go. I can't believe you're telling me this now. So she says, well, his wake is in a month. Please come back. And I said, this place is like a B&B, right? You know, can I stay here? And she said, absolutely. Come back. Here's the date. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm driving, you know. So I was back a month later, no doubt. But this guy, Stan, drives me back to the hotel at 2:30 in the morning. Gentleman drops me at the front door. And two of these psychics from the event are standing outside at 2:30 because one of them is smoking. And the other one is this tall, full-figured woman. Beautiful face, rosy cheeks, just watching me, not taking her eye off, smiling, nodding. And I'm like, hi. And she's smiling, nodding. And I said, what's going on? And she said, there's a man next to you, tall, silver hair, silver goatee. And I'm looking around like, no, Stan's in the car. He drove away. He's gone. And he wasn't tall anyway. And she says, there's a man standing next to you and he has a message. May I give it to you? She repeated. So, you know, it's late. I'm tired. But she's the psychic there at the event. And like, there's a lot of them, but she was respected. And I said, sure. She said, he wants you to know that he orchestrated this and he's really glad it worked.
Wow.
I looked up. I was like, oh, my God. I'll be right back. And I ran through the parking lot. And luckily, the guy did a big loop after he dropped me at the front door. And I caught him. And he backed up. And I said, panting, what did Levin Good look like? And he explained, tall, silver goatee, silver hair, why? And I said, he's here. He orchestrated this. And he's glad it happened. Those ladies just told me. And this guy that had graduated Penny's intuition courses that are really, really advanced, looked at me with a serious face and said, uh-huh. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is kind of over my head right now. But not really. I mean, I didn't say that at all. But I'm just like, you know, in that moment, can you imagine? I'm just like, whoa, this is real. How cool. Whoa. So anyway, I come back to the farm a month later. The first night I lay down in the bed at her B&B. I got a nice room, a little bathroom, and I'm just about to go to sleep. And it wasn't in my sleep. It wasn't a dream. I see Levin Good walk through the door right up to my bed, which I showed in the movie, like a ghost. I never use the word ghost. It's interesting. I use the word hologram because I think of his complete plasmic field. He's just a lot less dense. Okay. And that's how I'm looking at everything now is density. But he walked through the door. He came right up to me in the bed, looked at me and said, I did orchestrate this. I'm glad you're here. And that's how I met William Levin Good.
Now, one thing about this man who's a scientist who Penny worked with is that he also, just like you, seems to have been guided. We'll go into some of the details of his experiments. But at one point, he was about to throw out a very important set of seeds that would lead to a tremendously important discovery. And he heard a little voice said, don't throw them out. And so Penny says in the movie, you know, he was affected by this little voice, this mm-hmm. guidance he got, and also through his dreams. So I think in a sense, he was perhaps directed by the same forces that have been directing you. Do you think so?
And the same ones directing you, Johnny.
I believe so.
Yeah. If we're all doing this together, it's just a different level of mission. You know, they give us each our part. You get to do shows.
Well, I do want to tell you, I do want to tell you a quick story, which I don't think I told you. Well, when I was in sixth grade, I wrote a short story and I was called in to a meeting with the art director, the art teacher and the music teacher. And they said, we're going to turn the short story into a play, which turned out to be a musical. And it was about alien abduction. And so my short story in sixth grade was made into a musical, which I saw with my parents and the rest of the school. So that was like an introduction. That just was like an intuitive thing I did. I didn't know what alien abduction was, but I had them abducted, these kids abducted by a flying saucer. So it was there from a very early age, you might say.
And you hadn't been told to not talk about that yet.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I was always interested in this stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm... You know who Mac is? I forget his first name. The guy in Harvard who did all this research on abductions. I talked to him before he died, you know. He probably did. Well, what I'm saying is that that interest continued throughout my life, every aspect of it, especially something perhaps I'll tell you about another time. But the point is that, yeah, I feel there's a specific reason that I was so interested in talking to you and so sure that these crop circles are something like an amazing type of message, which I think that you are focusing in on this film. And this has to do with a new type of technology, a new type of approach to our whole worldview and our whole life. And there are so many different parts of it. But part of it is what Leavenworth was primarily concerned with, which was, seeds and plants and things like that, and the ramifications for other types of things. Correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
We have to take a break, and we will go directly into some of the studies of Leavenworth about the seeds.
Great.
But first, here's a clip of a beautiful song by Patty Greer, Are You the One?
Be right back.
Century, El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
Why? God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
If you like Threshold Radio, a program which deals with core issues affecting our personal, political, and spiritual lives, and advocates the creation of an enlightened, informed citizenry, not only in America, but throughout the world, then you might think of supporting both your product and business and our message by advertising on our show. All programs are archived and are supported in various ways, including social media, our outreach being broadcast weekly on VegasAllNetRadio.com, a very advanced internet broadcasting station, but also archived directly on our websites on YouTube and in SoundCloud. We believe in time we will have a very broad outreach. Through New Galaxy Enterprises, our parent company, we can create a wide range of marketing and advertising components to complement your advertising on Threshold Radio and increase your outreach in many creative and exciting ways. If interested, just go to www.thresholdradio.com and fill out a contact form with your interest. That's www.thresholdradio.com.
We're back on Threshold Radio with filmmaker and crop circle explorer Patty Greer.
Patty and I were talking about the work of a scientist named Leavengood, and Penny Kelly was his associate for many years, and in the movie, she takes a part in relating some of these these experiments along with Patty. And these experiments are really, really important. But they seem kind of simple in the very beginning, but the ramifications become more and more important. Like, for instance, talk about the nodes.
Yeah, the nodes are where we actually have physical, biophysical evidence, they call it. Where scientifically, as they look at a plant structure, this is what really surprised me, so many things that Penny said. Mainly plants are cellulose, which is plastic. And within a plant, you've got a liquid that keeps it alive. Mm-hmm. So this liquid, when hit with crop circle frequencies, starts to boil. And that's when these support system of these plants, these stalks, these crops becomes affected, where we see biophysical changes that are atypical. So when you've got a stalk of wheat or barley or corn, every 5 or 6 or 8 inches, you're going to have a node. And a node is just a stronger support area that the plant naturally builds to support itself to grow taller. Mm-hmm. So there's a node, you know, every 6 inches up a stalk of wheat. But in a crop circle, where you see the bend of the wheat, most of them can be, even at 90 degrees, hundreds of thousands of them in an acre or two, side by side bent like that. Something happened to that node that was atypical. Something happened to that node where the plant was boiling at a particular temperature in that area of the plant, where the plant was told to bend over sequentially to every node around it for an acre, and then the others were told a quarter acre to the left to bend to the east. You know what I'm saying? They're all informed before they know where to bend. And then when they're hit with these spinning vortexes of frequencies, which we will explain, it's so heated up inside that stalk of plant, which is cellulose, that it bends as it's told. And when it cools later, as we look at a piece of wheat and we see this elongated node, you've got these physical manifestations of something happened to that plant. And a lot of them you can actually see like a burned bubble where it exploded and then opened so the steam could come out. Now, what could cause a field of plants to boil but not burn down?
And this happens so specifically, so just this tiny node, because the place where the plant bends is very dramatic and obvious. So it's like guiding that. But what happens to the area that's kind of level beneath these structures that are bent? You know,
sometimes we find little bits of metal material. I remember going back to the research center one day when it was really rainy, and I heard about this new crop circle out behind the barge, three circles, simple, somebody flew over it. But, you know, the regulars, the crappies that come back every year from all these countries, they don't want to go out in the rain. It'll be sunny later or tomorrow. They'll just sit in there and sip tea and cakes and, you know, socialize and talk about things. I'm like, I came in from America. Every day counts. It's expensive. And I got a camera. I got it. You know, I don't want to miss anything. So I dragged my camera out. I had no training. I've got this big tarp over me with a hood because the manual said, don't get it wet. It really meant don't go out with your camera when it's raining. But I just put it under the tarp with me and went out. So when I came back to the research center, I said, yeah, it was pretty simple. But there was this silver stuff in the middle that was kind of floating and weird in the rain. And the head of the research center was like, you what? You didn't bring any back with you? And I was like, no. And he just like stopped. I was like, he goes, no, seriously. Would you be willing to go back with this? Here's a spoon and a bag and bring some back. And because I really liked being in the front line over there from the start, which I don't know how, then I was led, I went right back and did it. So, you know, we can see biophysical evidence of things happening in the fields, but Levengood and Penny had actual examples of leaves of wheat that had been covered with this reddish material that had hardened. And when they peeled it away and they tested it, they found that attached to the front and back of the leaf, which meant it had to have been molten, was iron ore.
Wow.
Iron ore has to be 1,200 degrees to be molten or more. How does 1,200 degrees of liquid molten metal fly through a field of wheat and not burn it down again?
That is really interesting.
The experiment experimented with magnets. They experimented with living plants and magnets, and they were trying to figure out a whole lot of things about plants and how they grow and what affects them. And when they got all these crop circle samples with these blown nodes, exploded nodes, bubbles, elongated nodes where they're actually stretched out, like some of them were even up to an inch stretched out. I mean, like what kind of energy could pull those nodes? 10,000 of them perfectly and bend them to the east or the north or the south? You know, it is such a miracle to be in them and see how obedient the crop was, is a polite way to say it. And the first moment you walk into a crop circle, what you see is this beautiful one motion of swirl from the center down, and these beautiful clean walls of standing crop that are just respecting this formation of this swirled circle of wheat. Oh, it's beautiful.
Another phenomena related to this, which shows the precision of this architecture, is the appearance of a single row of cell row pits, tiny openings at the bottom of leaves, generally called stoma, which are apparently very selectively permanently opened. They're very, very small. These cell pits are made, according to your movie and Penny, absorb the dew for the leaf. I understand the phenomena, which is that instead of just opening and closing, now these things become permanently open for some reason. Well, what's the reason for it?
Well, they got struck with some frequency that left them in an atypical situation. And a lot of the plants react in different ways. This particular field, these particular plants, and I think as I am closing my eyes thinking it was green, it was corn, I think, which is really hard to lay down. That's a thick, hard plant. But it's hit every kind of field differently, but when there's a message to be had, those fields go down and acquiesce without fail. And when I was starting to talk about the experiments, let's get to the results because this is the most important thing.
Okay.
And they experimented repeatedly with seeds that were hit with crop circle frequencies. They found that those seeds, if they treated them correctly, waited a few months till they regained their strength, again, through experiments repeated. They found that those seeds hit by crop circle frequencies were producing 30 to 400% more food and biofuel per seed. This is huge. And they produced up to 75% more nutrition per plant. So when you've got food that's been tainted by our system for all these years, once those companies are removed from existence, any day, we are going to need to know these technologies to be able to bring back the food systems to an organic nature. And when we learn these technologies, it will take very, very little time to clean up everything. And that's what's so exciting about breakthrough energy breakthrough technologies.
Well, one of the things about that, exposing them to the to these crop circle energies, is that what Levengood did is that he took other seeds and he tried to replicate this experiment. Not this experiment, this phenomena, by exposing these seeds to an ion electron avalanche and then storing them for some time, because that he found that they wouldn't immediately start to germinate. So I'm asking you, if you believe that experiment is related to this crop circle, are they trying to teach us technologies that we can use to do things like what you were just saying by actually kind of replicating and investigating how these technologies function with our own equipment, our own capacities, which we obviously may have done by using an electron avalanche, which who would have thought of that? What do you think?
Right. Well, I don't think they're trying to show us anything. I think that they're just, they've been using it for eons of time, and they're just waiting for us to catch up, but they're not sitting holding their breath because they're not that interested in us. We're not that interesting anymore because we haven't risen to the evolutionary point where we move into what is possible. And what is possible is the realization that plasma is the basis of all matter, and that plasma will be soon at the base of our new energy system. And when you get a new energy source at the base of your society, you create a new society. Oil was at the base of the last one. Plasma will be at the base of the next.
Okay, I'm going to challenge you to something, because you just said they were kind of indifferent to us. But why, that they're not really sending messages for us to decode? That's what you kind of implied.
No, okay. I didn't say that.
Okay, well, let me understand it. You said that they were indifferent to us, and they were just sort of setting out things for us, but not really expecting us to do something with the information they gave us.
I guess that didn't come out right. What I meant is we've been sitting pretty stagnant for a long time, considering they've been giving us this information for a long time. And I want to go further to say that who's they? You know, that's what we have to get down to. Who is they?
Exactly.
In quotes, because who's making crop circles, I think, is the biggest question of all time. Okay, we hear about Doug and Dave, those two human guys, the old guys, went to a bar, came out with boards and ropes. They made a crop circle. Wow, awesome. Oh, no, wait, they made all of them that summer. Oh, really? Well, that's really cool. How old are they? 50s? 40s? Okay, that's really cool. So one particular night they made three. One particular night they made one. But did they also make the ones in Italy and Argentina that night? Did they also make the ones in Belgium and Holland that night? And if they did, awesome. They're ET anyway, so why are we doing this?
I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break now, and in just a minute, we will be back and find out something about who really built these crop circles. We now bring you a song with Zave Nathan from Zave Music called Believe.
Stay strong and keep loving us. And we mustn't forget who we are. As a future and past are written in the stars. Every day of our life we should pray to the sky. We are one, we are love. Much loss, and for that we will grieve. In the end, it is love we'll receive.
The following is from West Side Warrior, the memoir of Ray Boylan, a Korean War veteran and crime fighter. He was there fighting in the world's coldest battlefield when the Chinese communists invaded.
Desperate squad members ran past our foxhole yelling, "Get the hell out of here! There's too many of them!" Again, we saw the Chinese soldiers charging in with opium-induced mindlessness, oblivious of our bullets. Again, we heard the bugles and whistles. Climbing out of our foxhole, Bob dropped two hand grenades behind us, and I threw one over my shoulder. Bullets whizzing by our heads, Bob and I became bolts of lightning flashing across the mountainside. Like a hideous film, desperate scenes like this played out on the Tokong Pass for 3 days. Sometimes I played in the scene. Sometimes I could only watch and wonder if it were real, or if I'd be suddenly jolted out of my trance by an RKO usher saying, "Hey, did you kids sneak in here?"
To acquire this book, Google westsidewarrior.boylan.kindle. Boylan is spelled B-O-Y-L-A-N. That's West Side Warrior, Boylan, Kindle.
I've worked with Russian composer Edgar Aaron for quite a few years, building an inventory of songs, many of which feature singer-performer Patricia Welch. We will soon be releasing these songs, components of an album and a musical in progress called Hadley's Castle. When Edgar and I first got together, I was amazed by the brilliance of his musical scores created for movies, TVs, and animations. Here is a sample of the work he did on the Russian TV series, available now on Amazon, called The Secret Agent's Memoir, which had 2 seasons. This score is called Escape and was created for the first season. I am very pleased to say that Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy Enterprises, is proud to be the contact point for television and film companies seeking information about this amazing composer's work. If you're in the entertainment business and wish to know more, contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. That's johnnybluestar@gmail.com. We're back with Patty Greer, and we are discussing the great mystery of the crop circles, which is who are the entities or people or whatever who actually are building them? Who are the crop circle builders?
Crop circles, after the experiments were done, they discovered that what's happening is that we have counter-rotating, spinning little tornadoes called vortices, literally vortices of spinning frequencies, literally spinning plasma frequencies, and everything is plasma. So now we're getting really small here. So you've got all these spinning plasma vortices. You've got them coming up in pairs, and shortly thereafter, a crop circle appears. What happened to me in my very first movie, after having a contact experience in 2007, next thing I knew things I didn't know a minute ago, and I started filming all these things. I came home with all this footage. I hired a kid on Craigslist. I made my first movie, and through this telepathic communication, laid out 77 minutes and found this communication between two balls of light in the only famous footage in the world of plasma balls laying down a crop circle. It's called Oliver's Castle, 1996. Two plasma balls of light were filmed laying a crop circle down in seconds. But because it was so amazing, the media had to get on it, get a team of people out there to say, oh yeah, they proved it was fake, and everybody went back to sleep. So they've ignored it all these years, which of course I expect. And now that I know years later that this is how it goes, I didn't know back then. So at the end of the summer, I'm interviewing these real croppies, Janet Osebaard, Bert Janssen from the Netherlands, that are there year after year, laying in crop circles, silent, doing the same thing I do year after year, just like not there for the fame and glory, but there in the crop circles and really having communications where they're doing it for the right reasons is all I want to say. So they've been in a few of my movies, but they made this beautiful movie called Contact, and they gave me permission to use the Oliver's Castle footage. So I bring the footage home, stick it in my movie, and through telepathic communications, completely off the wall, this kid on Craigslist, editor, and I found these balls of light that made that crop circle. I said, reverse it. He said, why? I said, I don't know. Just do it. He reversed it. I'm watching. I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? And I said, I don't know. 30%. And it was like, ooh, where'd that come from? That was weird. And he did it, and I found this binary code communication between those two balls of light. It was a stunning moment where I went, oh my God, how did I do that? How did I say 30%? Yeah, I mean, this whole thing, I'm like tripping over my own feet going, huh? Wow. That happened. I know that just happened. So it's kind of interesting, and everybody knows who's had contact. Once it happens, you can't deny it.
You know something, Patty? One thing that occurs to me, like this describing what you saw but when you were editing Oliver's Castle, is that even though we're talking about these things, like the stoma or like the nodes, even those little things and the bigger things about the crop circles being formed, you can't imagine this just until you see this movie. Because the movie itself is integrated with these amazing patterns and sort of discoveries and photographs that it really pulls it together in a way that I don't think words can be adequately handled.
Well, thank you for that. You know, I sent a link to Alfred Lambremont Weber, and he wrote an immediate review that said this needs to be a science textbook for all agriculturists, futurists, high school kids, college kids. It really does. Penny and Levengood's work was absolutely phenomenal. And because they proved that the seeds improve the quality of plants to the point of exploding away all these companies that are trying to destroy our food system, the money was behind hiding his work. And so they created this lie that flooded the media. And the lie was this. He didn't have a PhD. He lied about it. Yeah, look at this piece of paper. It says Dr. William Levengood. He didn't have a PhD. He's a liar. Let's debunk him. So nobody talked about him anymore. His stuff went away. So here I meet Penny. I'm like, so what was the doctor thing about? When she told that story, I was almost in tears. Leavengood had a speech impediment. And when he got excited or upset or people were in his face, he stuttered and he couldn't speak. He had done the complete schooling for his dissertation. He completed everything for his PhD. He knew the science. He had been in the lab enough years. And when he went for his final thing, they threw in some person at the last minute who replaced one of the three people on his panel. The guy hated him. He was jealous of him. And sure enough, at the last minute, he got up, got in Leavengood's face, and completely intimidated him, and then started yelling, and if you can't speak, we're not going to pass you. And Lefty walked out. And he said it was the only time he almost committed suicide. And at the end of the story, punchline is the National Academy of Science invited him to speak in Washington on the atomic structure of glass. He'd written major papers in over 40 periodicals that were highly respected in a variety of scientific fields. The man was a genius. And this PhD story rocked his world. And this guy was so committed to making sure his work didn't get out or paid to do that piece. Who knows? And it worked. And even the most famous people today, 2016, May 26th, were still spouting, Leavengood is a liar. Leavengood was proven a fraud. Yeah, talk about something And I watch these people because I'm working with the real person that was in the lab with him, not the one that posed, not someone who's still carrying on the name that he used to be a part of. And with all due respect, Leavengood and Burke have both died. BLT was his organization, Burke, Leavengood, and Talbot. And Nancy Talbot has carried on. But Nancy and Leavengood had it out before 2000. I think in 1998 or 9, Penny said they had it out and he would never work with her again. So for some reason, people think that she represents Lefty, and it was nothing of the kind. They've separated. She just kept their name, which included his, unfortunately for him. And so he was not at all somebody who lied about his name. And when the Academy of Science wrote him and said, we were inviting you to Washington, D.C., he said, with all due respect, I don't have a PhD. I'm sorry. And they wrote him back and said, with all due respect, you have the scientific equivalent and the complete education. We are sorry about your experience, and we consider you an honorary PhD. Please come to Washington. And so for the remainder of his life, he would never say PhD, but occasionally he would sign his name Dr. Leavengood, now, Dr. William Good.
Well, it shows you the absolute genius and value of a person like that who is willing to persevere for so many years without being heard. And maybe it's a good thing to some extent, because Goethe said that the pursuit of this type of knowledge is an open secret. Everybody can get it, but not everybody wants it. And maybe it's really for the people who want it. Now, I would like to return to that question we were dealing with. Who are these crop circle builders, Patty? Are they right. extraterrestrials? Are they extra-dimensional? Do they come from a specific star system? Are these orbs that are coming from the ground up from the ground and building these things implanted by them as a kind of technology? Do they live underground, or do they come from the stars and then implant this technology? Those are questions that I have.
My answers, and again, all I have is my perception, are yes, 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 and yes.
Oh, well, thank
all
you very
of the
much.
Above, all of the above and then some. So the punchline is that crop circles are messages that are coming from all of us. And I'm going to say it this way. These spinning plasma vortices coming out of the Earth, counter-rotating vortices, are intentional. When they come out of, almost every single one of them has been located over a ley line, which is a direct line between two sacred sites. So It's sitting in a place that has psi spiritual energy. 96% or 97% of the crop circles that have been documented up to, I think, 2006 or 7, were sitting over an aquifer of water. Almost all crop circles are sitting over water. So the epicenter is the epicenter of both of these things. The location between Stonehenge and the Avebury Stone Circle and Glastonbury, England, southern England, these long ley lines, the major ones of the planet, and southern Europe are the Michael and Mary lines, cross right in the middle of the Avebury Stone Circle, actually off to the side. literally, where they cross. But the Avery Stone Circle is the center of, sits over the center of three underground streams that meet. This area is a powerhouse. And this is where I would go and film the movies. So there are regular consistencies in all crop circle locations. They're sitting on a ley line. They're sitting over water. They come out of the earth and counter rotating vortices. And there's more to the story. Sometimes there's a group of people sitting in the stone circle, which there were in 2014, I met them, and they're sitting there praying together with their technical team. And they're designers of a free energy device that have been working on this for years. And they're sitting in the Avery Stone Circle holding hands, doing this meditation, saying, please give us a confirmation that our device is going to work. I met them a couple days later or the next day. I'm not sure how close it was. It's not even important what day it was, but their device, schematic, the shape, the design looks almost identical to a crop circle that showed up 3 hours away. And I was there with the camera crew, really excited, boring summer 2014. Nothing was happening early in the season. And then bang, this gorgeous crop circle. Oh my God, great day. So I grab the crew, we get in the car, we haul ourselves 3 hours north to Dorset, England to film this beautiful crop circle. And I was taking Sasha Stone into his first crop circle ever. Great honor. I love the guy. So the picture was stunning. The pattern was really complicated and beautiful. And it was the QEG free energy device. It was their schematic. It was perfect. So I walked into the formation first, like waiting for the hair to stand up, waiting for chills. Not a dang thing, Johnny. Nothing. I was like, oh, no. Tepid, no energy, no frequencies. I feel nothing. Don't say anything. Don't let your face drop. Just smile. And I look at Sasha. He's like, hey, I don't feel anything. And I'm like, gotta be honest. I don't either. So this long story gets us in the back of the circle. We sit down, we film, and I said, well, you know, we're sitting over the largest salt aquifer, and there's a ley line there, and there's a sacred site up there, and here we are in the middle of it, and God, everything looks good, but I don't feel a thing. And these five ladies are sitting on the edge of the crop circle, smiling, watching us, and finally we shut the cameras off, and I said, is there anything you ladies would like to say? And the beautiful woman with the long silver braid says, yeah. Turn the camera on. I got something to tell you. And I was like, ooh, cocky. I like it. So we turned the camera on her and she said, this is our crop circle. And she held up a photo of the crop circle from the air, which I had just seen, and a picture of their device, the QEG, quantum energy generator, free energy device. And I went, I don't feel anything. There's no electromagnetic energy. But this is a real friggin' crop circle. Okay, punchline. Yeah, humans create crop circles with intention. Okay, so that's story one. I get goosebumps and chills. That's story two, which means there's something non-human going on here, unless I'm standing with my finger in a plug, which I don't think so, in the middle of a farm field. So we've got all these different frequencies spinning together. You've got ion avalanche electron energies spinning. You've got electromagnetic fields spinning. You've got all these different frequencies of ET, if in fact they're part of this formation. I usually can tell on a physical level by the chills, the goosebumps, the hair standing up. On the other hand, if I don't, now I know differently. So what if humans made it with boards and ropes because they had a dream last night like I do when I make movies? I realize even they are part of this. If the message needed to be delivered and it came through humanity. So, wait a minute. They're all coming through water, through an aquifer? Well, the water's part of this too. So the punchline is, yeah, we've got ETs. Yeah, we've got human consciousness. Yeah, we've got the frequencies of water. And they begin in the earth. And we're not saying the Anunnaki or this being or that race in the earth. We're saying the earth, Gaia, source, the mother. The earth, not beings or creatures, the earth is spinning these messages when she has the message from humans and or ETs or all of us together saying no more war. In 2014, we had a fission circle like a spiral, but it turned out to be Morse code that said no more war. And wrapped around it were two crop circles of opposing black, white, and then white, black. And they were both pieces of a weapon called a star extractor, which is pull the friggin' bullets out. And if we'd start listening to the messages of these crop circles, we would evolve as a species and to ultimately realize they're coming out of the earth in counter-rotating vortices. Some of them involve human spinning vortices, human conscious thought. Some of them involve ETs. Perhaps they're flying over, they need to drop a star map for some friends. Yeah, they'll point it over there so that the next bunch of ships flying over will get the message and go, oh good, that one's for us. Little Patty Greer, the silly American, walks in and goes, ooh, good buzz, you know, hair standing up. Oh yeah, this is ET. And so I do it with some humor, but truth is, it's all of us working together. Truth is, the messages are for all of us as well. The earth gets to speak, the water gets to get the frequencies of the messages as they're spinning from the mother, so it goes out to all the oceans, all the water. These frequencies explode in their sacred geometries out into form because we're all plasma. Plasma communicates, plasma is conscious, and the flow is happening. These messages are getting out to the water, to the earth, to the ETs, and to many human conscious beings. So crop circle messages ultimately are all saying the same thing in different forms. And the messages ultimately are peace, unity. And our job is to get everybody to be looking at these messages and to wake up to what they're saying. Peace, ultimately. Peace, unity.
Okay, Patty, I want to just thank you for being here. Tell us how to contact you to look at these wonderful new films, and particularly the one we've been talking about, Crop Circle Diaries, and the other one that's very recent, Women of Today, but also to see the marvelous compendium of your work.
Well, thank you. I do have 8 movies available. You can stream 7 of them. You can buy DVDs to all 8. I've done collection sets where I stick them all together in one box for half price. It doesn't have the 2 new movies, but the interesting thing, I was starting to tell the story about Women of Today, and then we took a left and went off into some other story, which, God, ufology, it's an endless matrix of interesting moments. But I took my camera to Contact in the Desert. I met that girl with the orb photos, right?
Yeah.
She's showing me so many on her phone that I'm just like, oh my God, stop the clock. You are really having contact. And she says, yeah, well, my husband and I both speak Sirian, Andromedan, and one other, Arcturian. And then I looked up and looked at her and I went, oh my God, you're hybrid, aren't you? And she said, yes, I am.
Whoa.
And in that moment, I said, oh my God, you're why I brought the camera. And the beam of light that came out of her smile, I was just like, oh. And next thing I knew, I was filming Amazing Women. And I date men, but I was filming Amazing Women. And I was like, all of a sudden, I remember this incredible song by Faith Rivera, a wonderful musician. And it's called The Women of Today. And as soon as I got home, I had filmed this beautiful girl and a gorgeous black woman. And I said, what do you do? Like waiting for something, you know, to blow my mind. And she said, I'm a psychic surgeon. Oh. I was like, how good are you? And she said, good. I was like, oh my God, can you be here tomorrow at noon in 104 degree weather and let me film you? Yes, I'll be here. It's like, this is too easy. And even though I was like, oh, do a women's movie, no UFO. I was like, oh God, I love Barbara Lamb, you know, with her 2000 regressions of ET people. So I interviewed Barbara Lamb and yeah, just in case. So I get home and all of a sudden everywhere I go, I'm like, picking women. I'm at Whole Foods, picking women. Excuse me, I'm not coming on to you. I'm making a movie. Do you do some kind of interesting work in the ethers? And are you helping the planet? That was me interviewing. And I got the most interesting women. And so there's 33 women. And I said, yay, my first non-UFO movie. And then I went, wait a minute. I don't talk about the hybrid, but we do talk about the psychic surgeon. Let her speak. But then I've got 3 different women working on the Mars mission. One of them has actually been building shuttles between NASA and Boeing. She's the liaison for years.
Wow.
If she's working on the shuttles that are hauling people to Mars, it's like, are you allowed to talk about this? Oh, yeah, there's a website. I said, really? She goes, yeah, nobody knows to go to it, but there's a website with photos. Can I use those photos in your interview? Yeah, no problem. She sends me the photos. So I've got Laura Eisenhower going, I turned down the Mars mission because of the secrecy. If I can't talk about it, I'm not supporting it. And then the girl building the ships, and then Tanya Maddenford, who wouldn't even speak. She had produced the movie Packing for Mars. I think half of her already left. She's just lovely. So all these other women doing amazing things to save the planet is the women of today. And I'm very proud of it. And because I finally said, oh, uncle, I guess it is have some UFO elements. Once Barbara Lamb did her, yes, I've regressed many people having contact. In comes Patty Greer going, hi, I'm the contactee. Uncle.
Well, I better start streaming that one because that's one that I haven't seen yet. So,
oh, yeah. Today is fun.
And maybe we can discuss that more on a later occasion because those people seem very interesting indeed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, they're always telling women, shh, and go under that burqa. But you know what? Good luck on that. We are acupuncture points. We are recreating our space because we don't want our children hurt. So let's fix this. That's what the women of today are doing. And I'm really proud of us. And the great men out there doing things like your show. Thank you, Johnny.
You're welcome, and thank you for coming. And
pleasure.
I hope you'll come back. We'll see you soon.
I will. Okay.
Terrific. So long.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Trees, it's falling in our eyes. and it's getting harder to see the beauty that is our world and the freedom,
freedom
to be free.